the power of Jesus' name.
For the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal lion and crown him love. Bring forth the royal lion and crown him love.
As a contribution to the religious life of America, this station brings you on transcription the Baptist Hour of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heard in the word, in the song shall rise to me. Of Jesus from Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. join us as we pray. Teach us, O Lord, to trust in Thee always. Help us to develop the habit of depending upon Thee for guidance when the way is not clear, for strength when tempted, for comfort in sorrow. We ask it in the name of the living Christ. Soul, there are words of encouragement and comfort in these hymns sung by the choir under the direction of John D. Hoffman. Listen now to "Jesus Took My Burden" and "Peace Be Still."
When I, a poor lost sinner, before the Lord did fall, and in the name of Jesus for pardon loud did call, He heard my supplication, and soon the weak was strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song.
Yes, Jesus took my burden. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious tears were silent, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song.
Message, When Trouble Comes, continues the series, So Great Salvation. Our speaker is Dr. Ramsey Pollard, pastor of the Broadway Baptist Church, Knoxville, Tennessee. Dr. Pollard.
I'm wondering if you have any trouble. I want to talk with you just now about the reality and the cure for trouble. May I call your attention to the 14th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning with the 22nd verse. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is an evil spirit. And they cried out for fear. You remember that these days in the life of Christ were exceedingly busy days. People with all kinds of trouble were coming to him. There were deaf men who wanted to hear. And there were blind folk who wanted to see. There were people who were lost down in the depths of sin. And they wanted someone to lift them up. All of these days of Christ were exceedingly full. And now Christ is tired, and his disciples are tired. The pressure has been terrific upon them during these days. You remember that Jesus had fed the 5,000 people and sent them away. And now the disciples start across the little lake in their boat, and Jesus goes up into a mountain to pray. He needed to talk with God. There never has been a busier man on the face of this earth than Jesus was. And yet Jesus found time to talk with God. We see him as he goes up into the mountain to alone to pray with God. And then you recall the storm came upon that little sea. And all night long the disciples are fighting, trying to save their lives and trying to save that little ship. Finally, the day comes, and hope is gone, and it looks as though every great wave that comes will send them down into the depths of the sea. And Mark it is who tells us that Jesus watched them. He knew of their distress and trouble, and he came unto them. It may have been that Jesus waited until they had reached the end of their rope. Perhaps they needed a lesson. They need a lesson concerning the nature of Jesus Christ. They knew him as the physical Christ. They knew him as a great reformer. They knew him as a great healer. But when Jesus went to them walking on the water that day, one of those disciples cried out, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. And no man can be right with God. And no man can be a real follower of Jesus Christ in the deepest sense of the word unless that man or woman, boy or girl, down in the deep of their heart know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Now there was trouble. The scripture says that they were troubled and they had real fears. They were not merely hallucinations. They were not bad dreams. As a matter of fact, Jesus experienced trouble himself. He never did deny the reality of suffering and fear. He never did say that there isn't anything like trouble at all. He didn't say that. Jesus did do something about trouble. He put something on the inside of people which enabled them to overcome that which was on the outside. And you're in trouble today. Maybe there's family trouble. Maybe there have been reverses in your life that you cannot understand. Now let me remind you today that there is one who can lift the burden from your heart. There is one who can drive the gloom. There is one who can come to you and who will come to you in your deepest need. And when trouble has piled up like mountain peaks upon your life, there is one who understands and there is one who cares. So many of us are overwhelmed by troubles that never come. You remember these disciples? When Jesus walked to them while he was treading upon that water, what did those disciples say? They said, "This is an evil spirit." Why did they say that? Because that's just exactly what they were looking for. And you're going to find out in life that if you look for trouble and if you look for evil spirits, that's just exactly what you're going to find. If you're looking for slights, if you're looking for insults, if you're looking for grief, you're going to find it in life. And when you go to church, if you go there to find fault, if you go there to criticize, if you go there to condemn, you'll never get a blessing out of going to church. Not at all. Because you went there looking for evil and you're going to find it. Most of our troubles never materialize. They're like ghosts in the dark. Some of us have a trouble factory. And when things are going along pretty well, what do? We start grinding at the trouble factory. I read a little story years ago. I think most of the men to whom I'm preaching today will understand it. His wife had some very beautiful silver downstairs, and she lived in fear that someone would break into her house and steal that beautiful silver. For 20 years, she'd been punching her husband sometimes during the night and saying, "Get up, John, go downstairs. I hear somebody down there. They may get my silver." And lo and behold, after 20 years of that, the man got up one night at his wife's insistence and went downstairs, and believe it or not, there was a burglar in the house. He walked up to that burglar and said to him, "My name is thus and so." They shook hands. And then the man said to the burglar, "Brother, I want you to come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been looking for you for 20 years. We smile at that. But I'm wondering if I'm not speaking to somebody who is living under fear. I'm wondering if I'm not talking to someone who is beneath the clouds of despondency. You're always expecting some tragedy to come into your life. May I suggest to you that that isn't the attitude a Christian ought to have? May I suggest to you today that as long as you live under the clouds of fear and despondency, as long as you enjoy walking down through the valleys of trouble, you'll never be happy. And God doesn't want you to be like that. He doesn't want you to be like that. Hear me today when I tell you that such an attitude brings dishonor to the name of God and brings unspeakable unhappiness to your life and to those round about you. Get out of the valley of fear and despondency. Rise up out of it by the help of Almighty God because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Now there are some troubles that are real. Sometimes we create our own trouble. And oftentimes we cry out, "Oh, why? Why did this thing have to happen to me?" There's some folk who think that Christianity is an insurance policy that's going to keep them from having trouble. Well, that isn't true. The only promise I know of is this: God says, "I will keep you while you are in trouble." You remember Paul prayed a prayer 3 times. "Oh God, remove this thorn from my flesh." God didn't remove that thorn. But God did put something on the inside of Paul, which made everything all right. He said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee." And it's true. It's true. God's grace is sufficient for you. The greatest sorrow is not trouble itself, but a misinterpretation of trouble. It's a misuse of grief. 7 years ago, in a city in a far distant state, I was preaching in a revival meeting right across the street from the church house. There stood a beautiful home. I never saw anyone around that place at all. The shutters were closed. There was no evidence of life at all. I asked the pastor, "Who lives there?" "Oh," he said, "there's a lady there. She lives there by herself. She used to be one of those marvelous members we had. And during the war, one day she received that tragic telegram telling her that her only son was lost. Well, she closed the house up. She got on the inside of those four walls and she grieved and she went through agony and she closed the doors to her friends. And more tragic than that, she closed the doors to God. What a tragedy. In another place I was holding the revival meeting, a very marvelous woman in that city, the wife of a judge, a beautiful woman she was, with a glorious voice which she had dedicated to God. She received the same message one Thursday morning. Thursday afternoon, the man who directed the music in that church went to her and said, "I wonder if you would sing for us Sunday morning. I know you've just received word that your only son has given his life in the defense of our country. But will you sing for us Sunday morning?" Why, she said, "Certainly I will." And the next Sunday morning, she stood there in the choir loft. The auditorium was jammed to its capacity. And this dear lady sang this song. Listen to the words of it. "When I was crushed with sorrow, I bowed in deep despair. My load of grief and heartache seemed more than I could bear. 'Twas then I heard the whisper, 'You to the Lord belong.' Then Jesus took my burden and left me with a song." Oh, isn't that wonderful? That people who know Jesus, that people who know the sustaining power of God's grace can move through life and they're not tripped by every circumstance. They're not thrown down by every disappointment because they believe in God. One of the most marvelous scriptures in all the Word of God is there in the 14th chapter of John, where Jesus said to his disciples who were despondent and discouraged, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me." And today, and tonight, and in all the days to come, if you have an abiding faith in God, tragedies won't mean so much to you, because on the inside of your heart, you'll have something which will enable you to overcome that which is on the outside. I love this glorious truth here, where God said to one of his great men, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." One thing I know, and that is that Jesus spent a good deal of his time removing fear. Removing fear. Over and over again, Jesus said to his disciples, "Fear not. Fear not, for I have overcome." And every Christian is expected to live the overcoming life. Don't let your troubles get you down. Don't let them defeat you. Don't let them bring into your heart and life a sense of defeatism and failure. But when trouble comes, take it to the Lord in prayer. You've been listening to the Baptist Hour. Our hearts have been thrilled by the many, many letters we've received. So many people have written in saying that that's the kind of gospel we believe in. I wonder if you'll write us a letter. Just address it to the Baptist Hour, Station E, Atlanta, Georgia. May God bless you, and I'll be with you again next week.
Community is more anxious to serve you than your nearby Baptist pastor. He is one person called and trained to lead men to a closer walk with God. Call him today. Meantime, if we at the Radio Center can be of service, write us a letter or card telling us of your problem or your request for prayer. Simply address it to The Baptist Hour, Station E, Atlanta, Georgia. That's The Baptist Hour, Station E, Atlanta, Georgia.
God be with you till we meet again. By His counsels guide upon you. With His shield securely fold you.
Speaker was Dr. Ramsey Pollard, pastor of the Broadway Baptist Church, Knoxville, Tennessee. A copy of his message, When Trouble Comes, will be mailed to you upon your request. Write to the Baptist Hour, Station E, Atlanta, Georgia. We treasure your prayers and support, and we hope you'll join us next week at this time when this station brings you transcribed The Baptist Hour. This is the Baptist Hour Network.